I want you to picture yourself in two hypothetical situations. And then after I explain the hypothetical situations, I want you to decide in which of those two scenarios you would better be able to trust. Scenario A. You are sick. The doctors have performed countless tests. They've consulted with experts all across the country. And yet everyone is completely stumped as to what it is that's wrong with you. So they've tried all different kinds of medications, all different kinds of treatments. And yet instead of you getting better, it just seems like every day things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. Scenario B. You are sick. And at times the pain is absolutely excruciating. And yet the doctors very quickly and very easily were able to diagnose what the problem was. And now they've given you the right kinds of medication. And they have a surgery scheduled. It's on the calendar. And they've told you it's a very routine procedure. And after it's done, everything is going to return back to normal. In which of those two scenarios would you better be able to trust? I think the answer is obviously the second choice, right? Yes, maybe there still are some unknowns, some uncertainties in that scenario, but when the future looks so much brighter, when the future looks so much more certain, it's so much easier to trust. It's so much easier to trust when there is some visible proof or evidence that leads us to believe that in the end everything is going to turn out to be okay. But what about when there isn't that kind of visible proof? What about the times when your life feels a lot more like scenario A than scenario B? The times in your life where it feels like there are a lot more questions than there are answers, a lot more uncertainties than certainties, a lot more reasons seemingly that you should be doubting rather than trusting. When your present or your future or both seem incredibly uncertain, can you still trust? Can you still see through eyes of faith when the vision is bleak? The answer is yes, you can. And here's why. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. In this sermon series that we're kicking off today, we're going to be looking at that concept. That as we look at our lives through the lenses of Jesus' resurrection, it changes the way that we view things in our lives. And today we'll focus on the fact that as we view our lives through resurrection lenses, it leads us to be able to have our doubts dispelled. It leads us to be able to see through eyes of faith rather than eyes of fear, no matter how bleak the vision of the landscape around us might look. In our sermon text today from Genesis 15, we get a really great example of that kind of faith in the person of Abram. You probably know Abram a little bit better by his more commonly used name, Abraham. Our text takes place in Abram's life before God changes his name from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means the father of many. And we'll see why God changes his name to that in our text today. I'll give you a little bit of background on Abram if you don't remember his life story. When Abram is about 75 years old, God appears to him and he speaks to him. And God tells Abram that he needs to pack up everything that he owns. He needs to move away from his father and his family and his homeland, and he needs to go and travel to a place that God was going to show him. And amazingly, that's exactly what Abram does. He takes his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot and their servants and all of their stuff, and he packs it up and they head off into the unknown. Talk about trusting in an uncertain future. And we see that Abram was able to trust despite the uncertainty because God had made him a number of really important promises. Some of them are like this. I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And then over the course of the next 25 years of Abram's life, God just kept keeping those promises. He grants to Abram vast wealth, a strong faith. He gives him security and protection and safety and success in everything that he does. And then as we get to our sermon text for today, God again appears to Abram in a vision. And in that vision, he speaks to him words of comfort and reminders that he had indeed kept his promises. As our text begins, God says to Abram, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But although God had made and kept so many promises to Abram, there's still one promise that God had made that seemed to be unfulfilled. God had promised Abram that he was going to turn him into a great nation. And you have to imagine that in Abram's life, that promise was hanging over his head like a storm cloud, jabbing at his heart and prodding his mind like a thorn in his sandal. Because although God had promised he was going to make a great nation spring up from Abram's offspring, Abram didn't have any offspring. And to make matters that much worse, Abram, who didn't have any offspring, was nearly 100 years old. And to make matters worse, his wife was old as well. And to make matters worse, his wife was barren. And so the landscape in Abram's eyes looks pretty bleak as to how God is going to carry out this promise to make him into a great nation. You see, his doubt that starts creeping into his heart and his mind, it's almost palpable as we hear Abram lament to God, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And then once again, Abram repeats this problem as if he's trying to wake God up to see his plight and do something about it. He says, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Throughout his life, Abram had showed this great trust and faith that God was going to keep his promises. But now as he looks around him, as he looks at his life, the doubts start creeping in. Because as Abram looks around, he sees an old man and an old woman and no children. Where exactly was the visible proof that God was going to keep his promise to turn Abram into a great nation? The vision was pretty bleak. See, believing by seeing was growing increasingly difficult. As the seconds just kept ticking by, and as every day that passed by, it became less and less likely that Abram would ever be able to bear his own son. And at this point in history, it was legal for a man to adopt his servant, one of his servants in his household, to be his legal heir. It seems that Abram had either resigned himself or was thinking that's what he was going to have to do with his servant Eliezer. And yet deep down, Abram knew that if that's the route he had to take, it wasn't going to be his line that was continuing on towards the Savior, but Eliezer's. And so for Abram, without a son in the picture, things were looking pretty bleak. And maybe for you it's not all that difficult to imagine how Abram was feeling. Because maybe in your life right now, as you look around and see the vision, there's a lot of things in your life that look pretty bleak too. Maybe like Abram and Sarai, you've been struggling with infertility. Maybe you've dug yourself into a pretty deep financial hole and it looks pretty bleak that you're ever going to be able to climb out of it. Maybe you long to be married or long to be in love, but the people you think are the right ones always end up being very, very wrong. Maybe it's an addiction that you just can't seem to break, a prognosis from the doctor that's growing increasingly grim. Maybe it's depression or anxiety that just keeps on darkening your days. Maybe it's a new job or a new home or a new place, and you're just not exactly sure how it's going to turn out. You see, when things look uncertain or bleak, it gets increasingly easier to doubt and increasingly more difficult to trust. It's a bit like trying to see through a pair of glasses that have the wrong prescription for your eyes. Those glasses are intended to make your vision clearer, but if they have the wrong prescription, instead they're going to make your vision more blurry and more distorted and leave you with a headache. And the same is true if we try and view our lives through the lenses of this world. We're left with vision that is distorted and blurred, and it leaves us with a headache and a heartache and much worse. And that's why we need to view the world around us. That's why we need to view our own lives through eyes of faith. Through eyes of faith that are looking through the lenses of Easter, through the lenses of the resurrection. And it's only sight like that that allows us to truly view and understand our lives and our eternity. And we see how God responded as those doubts start creeping into Abram's head. He tells him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." You see what God does here? God doesn't immediately spring into action and zap a baby miraculously into Sarai's barren womb. Instead, he just doubles down on the promise that he'd already made. Yes, in a number of years, Abram would indeed be holding his son Isaac, a son from his own body, in his arms. But for now, God simply says, "Remember the promise that I made to you. Believe it." Not because of some sort of visible evidence or proof, but believe it simply because I have promised you. Now that said, God still also understands the value of a visual. And so he takes Abram and he leads him out of his tent and lets him look up at this beautiful night sky. He says to him, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. So shall your offspring be." Experts estimate that there are around 8,000 stars that are visible on a clear night sky in the Middle East. What a powerful reminder that must have been for Abram. That whenever the doubts would start creeping into his head or his heart, all he had to do was poke his head out of his tent flaps and look up and be reminded of the promises that God had made to him. It's interesting, though. God doesn't add any sort of proof. He doesn't add any sort of evidence that can convince Abram that he's actually going to keep his promise. Right? Even the visual that he gives Abram, it's not evidence. Stars in the sky mean nothing that a barren woman is going to have a child. But both in his words and in the visual he gives, God is simply reminding Abram of the promises that he's already made to him. And maybe we look at that and it doesn't seem like it would make much of a difference, right? Yeah, he reminds him of his promises, but when Abram looks around, he's still seeing the same kind of issues. The landscape still looks bleak. So what good does that do? And yet we see what happens. We're told that Abram believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. See, that's because our faith is not founded on visible evidence or compelling proofs. Our faith is founded on the promises of God. And God's word, God's promises, they work. By the Spirit's power, working through the word of God and the promises he's made to us, our faith is strengthened so that we can see through eyes of faith, even when everything around us seems so bleak and uncertain. As the writer to the Hebrews says, faith is being certain of what we do not see. Abram couldn't see a child being formed in his barren wife's womb, but he trusted that it was going to happen because God doesn't fail in keeping his promises. And as a result of that faith in God, we're told that God credited that to him as righteousness. And that doesn't mean that Abram in and of himself was a morally perfect, righteous man. Far from the truth, actually. One of the next stories that we hear about Abram right after this account is when he tries to play God and tries to speed up this process of bringing a son into his family line by having a son through his wife's servant instead of trusting in God's timing and a baby coming from his own wife. So what God is saying here is not that Abram himself was righteous, but that another was righteous for him. He's saying that through faith in God, Abram received the perfection that would be lived by the Savior Abram believed was going to come from his family line. And the beautiful thing is, that's not a promise that God made just to Abram. In Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul uses this account as a way of explaining the same thing to us. He says, Abram did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for Abram alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. You see, when you have Spirit-produced faith that Jesus is your Savior, you also have Jesus' righteousness in your place. And that means that no matter how filthy, no matter how smudged and dirty God's view of your life ought to be, instead, when God looks at you through the lenses of Jesus' perfection and his suffering and death, God sees a person who is completely clear and completely clean. And that's why the resurrection means so much for the way that we view our lives. Because Jesus' resurrection assures us that all of our sins have been paid for in full. Jesus' resurrection leads us to have our doubts dispelled. Because no matter how bleak, no matter how uncertain the present or the future might look, is it anything that the God who is able to conquer sin and death and hell hasn't already conquered? And if God was able to keep his promise, the promise he made long ago that he was going to send a Savior and raise him again to life on the third day, do we really have to be afraid that he's not going to be able to keep any of the promises that he's made to us? See, when we view our lives and our eternity through the lenses of the resurrection, we have no reason to doubt. And in his word, God doubles down on those promises he's made to us. Promises to save us and to protect us and to provide for us and to love us. And on top of that, he then gives us visual reminders that we can turn to for strength when the doubts start to creep into our own minds too. Just like Abram's stars in the sky, God gives us visual reminders of his promises. The ultimate visual of the empty Easter tomb that we celebrated just last weekend. The empty tomb of Easter reminds us that every single one of our sins has been paid for in full. The empty Easter tomb reminds us that God never fails to keep his promises. The empty Easter tomb reminds us that love shines forth brightest in our Savior Jesus, the one who saved us, the one who protects us, the one who loves us. And so every time those doubts start to creep into your head, visualize that empty tomb. Look at this Easter candle that keeps burning to remind us that Jesus is alive. Look to that tomb. And trust. Trust because the greatest promise that God made to Abram has been fulfilled in Jesus. The promise that through Abram's offspring, all peoples on earth would be blessed. And certainly that's the case through our risen and living Lord, who never fails to keep his promises. Amen.